listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
This week, Americans experienced a powerful, unexpected, and for many, disappointing event. The election of Donald Trump as President of the United States. As the results came rolling in, some people reported that the website for Canadian immigration crashed from so many people inquiring about how to get out of the United States. For those supporting Mr. Trump, there's jubilation. For those supporting Hillary Clinton and previously Bernie Sanders, there is disappointment, mourning, even despair. What better time to talk about our topic for today, expectations and disappointments. Welcome to Full Power Living, where we're helping the world to realize and work with the importance, power, and mastery of human emotions. We welcome your questions and comments. You can offer them on the chat at blogtalkradio.com/FPL for Full Power Living, or the radio show page of emotionalpro.com. And you can also call us toll-free, 888-498-0570. That's 888-498-0570. And I'd love to hear about your own expectations and disappointments, whether they're connected to this election or not. Today, I am both host and Full Power Living's guest. And here's our producer, Paul Johnston, to introduce me and my other guests.
Thank you, Eileen. Eileen Dillon helps leaders of businesses, organizations, and families to master their emotions. Author of more than 21 books, booklets, CDs, and workbooks, including Happiness is a Decision of the Heart and the ABCs of Anger, Eileen has worked as a therapist and coach with individuals, groups, and families for nearly 45 years. Eileen is the creator and has been the host of Full Power Living since 2004, interviewing guests, working with every aspect of life, including beliefs, relationships, spirituality, emotions, nutrition, personal growth, mental health, creative arts, science, and medicine. Joining Eileen today are her granddaughters, Ava and Amelia. Here is Eileen Dillon.
Thank you, Paul. This particular show will date itself. It's November 10th, 2016, less than 48 hours after Donald Trump's amazing election as the 45th president of the United States. Was his victory what you were expecting? If you were, you're likely feeling good, safe, and happy. If you are not, you are likely feeling disappointed, frustrated, unsafe, confused, or angry. Here's one of the statements that arrived in my inbox, for example. Quote, many of you, like me, probably had a sleepless night. I'm shocked and afraid for what the future holds for our country and the world. Close quote. Well, you know, as a person who's lived almost 74 years on this planet, and in this country, I have heard similar words at various points along the way. For example, when John F. Kennedy was elected, after all, he was the first Catholic president we elected, people were terrified. They didn't know what was going to happen. They were terrified again during the Bay of Pigs, because we as individuals and as groups hold different beliefs and expectations. I have heard, I'm shocked and afraid for what the future holds for our country many, many times over the years. Fortunately, both our world and our country have continued to move forward. Personally, I'm expecting that following this election also. Well, when we have our expectations dashed, why do we react so strongly emotionally? And is this type of reaction inevitable? Is there any way to go through life having hope or ideas of what we want to happen, but not also get so dispirited when things don't happen the way we expect them to? That's part of what we're looking at today here on Full Power Living. At this moment, I'm living with my wonderful son and his wife and their two daughters in Davis, California. As most of you know, my husband died earlier this year. I've just put my home on the market, and I'm going to take to the road in my new van when it's delivered to me in about 6 weeks. So since I'm living with my son and daughter-in-law, I've invited my granddaughters, Amelia and Ava, to help me create this show for you. I invite you to notice not only the differences in their personalities, but also their age differences. And I'll talk with you about some of the things I discovered as we go through the program today. We open with my question to each of them. What is an expectation? Here are Amelia and Ava.
All right, so I'm here talking with one of my wonderful granddaughters. And what is your name?
My name's Amelia.
And you are how old?
11 years old.
And what grade are you in?
I'm in sixth grade.
Sixth grade, all right. In your understanding, what is an expectation?
An expectation is something that you expect to be able to do, or you expect to happen, or that you expect someone else to do.
And that sounds like you're saying you expect it in the future.
Yeah.
That's a really great definition. The dictionary says it's a strong belief that something will happen in the future, or what's most likely to happen in the future. And you're right that sometimes it's what you expect other people to do, and sometimes what you decide yourself will be happening.
Like the election for the president, some people might be disappointed.
Very disappointed, yes. I'm here on Full Power Living with another of my wonderful, beautiful granddaughters. And would you tell people what your name is?
Yes, my name is Ava.
And how old are you, Ava?
I am 8 years old.
8 years old. All right. And you're in what, third grade?
Yes.
Yeah, very good. Okay, so the first thing I want to talk about is expectations. Do you know what an expectation is?
I would guess the expectation means, like, I expect this to happen. Like, I expect Hillary to win or I expect Donald Trump to win.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's exactly what the dictionary says. The dictionary says that an expectation is a strong belief that something will happen in the future. Okay, so you have a nice strong belief.
So, as Amelia and Ava demonstrated, very young, we understand about expectations, and we understand that an expectation is a belief that something will occur as we imagine, hope, or are told. And as Amelia pointed out, it also involves expectations of ourselves and expectations that we hope others will do. In the case of this recent election, the biggest tellers were pollsters. And as I drove in my car on Tuesday afternoon, I heard an interview with Nancy Pelosi, who predicted a win for Hillary Clinton, a Democratic win for the Senate, and a likely Republican control of the House. So whether you're reporting a poll or you're part of the government itself, like Nancy Pelosi, people tend to believe you know what you're talking about. Pollsters and others, like Nancy Pelosi, help us to hold on to our belief and come to expect even more strongly particular outcomes. I was interested to look up what the synonyms for expectation are. Presumption, prediction, assumption, confidence, hope, intention, likelihood, possibility. Can you hear with those words that it's very easy, like assumption is a synonym and so is presumption, where we assume or we presume that what we expect will occur, that we have confidence in it? How can we not be disappointed and not hold a strong expectation without making some level of assumption or presumption? That's a really interesting and powerful question to ask around getting disappointed. Because when we get disappointed, we end up with a lot of feelings. And let's continue with expectations with Ava and Amelia. Together, they have lived in the United States for their whole lives with a combined total of 19 years. So let's hear what they have to say about where expectations come from. Here are Amelia and Ava.
Amelia, where do you think an expectation comes from?
I think an expectation comes from what one person or other people or a group of people expect to happen or what they predict will happen in the future.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you notice the dictionary talks about believing, that we actually believe that it will happen, okay? Mm-hmm. So where does an expectation for something come from?
Just thinking right now.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Remember, there are no right or wrong answers. I just want to know, where do you think expectations come from?
I would think expectations come from, like, an expectation is sort of like guessing, like a strong guess, like this person's going to do something like that. I would guess that comes from people believing, not people guessing.
I think that's entirely true. And one of the things I've learned about belief, when you develop a belief, you know what that is? It's a thought that gets repeated and repeated until you finally believe it. So do you think expectations are always truly, like you have a belief that something's going to happen, do you think they're always truly correct in that case?
No, I never think that, because guesses cannot always be correct.
Okay, that's very good.
So notice that Ava in particular here is talking about guesses and believing. And that's where we have our problem. We're guessing about the future, and when it's repeated to us many times over, we begin to believe it. And we can repeat it to ourselves or we can repeat it to somebody else. But that's what creates belief. The subconscious mind cannot resist repetition. Advertisers know this. If I tell you that that the Iraqis have items of mass destruction, instruments of mass destruction, if I tell you over and over again, or if I tell you a particular group are terrorists, with enough repetitions, you will believe that without questioning as true. And this is one of the pitfalls for us human beings. In this election situation, we listen to pollsters. We listen to other people's ideas. And, you know, even Nancy Pelosi, this was a few minutes, was probably like 2 or 3 hours before the polls closed in California that I heard this interview on PBS with Nancy Pelosi. And we listen to her and we believe her because she's in the government. She should know. And part of what we want to do to keep ourselves from being torn apart by dashed expectations is to develop the ability to listen to ourselves. The Democrats sent out over and over during the election season, they sent out these questionnaires. And one of the questions they asked repeatedly is, do you think Donald Trump can win? Now, I don't know what other people said, but every time I got to that question, I said yes, because I could see for myself that if he had beat out the large field of primary candidates and he was whipping up a frenzy of people who were really ready to support him, that he had a capability of winning the election. And I will tell you that I was not disappointed. I did not have my expectations dashed. I had some emotional reaction, but it wasn't disappointment because I had the idea that it might happen. So we are the people who look to the future. We believe what we're told. We trust what other people tell us. We hold on to what we're told, and we trust the tellers. And this all sets us up for big disappointment and strong emotional reactions when our expectations are not met. We're up to our first break. I want to invite you to call us at 888-498-0570. Ask me your questions and then consider with me when we come back how do we get past expectation and disappointment. Find out coming up here on Full Power Living.
As a parent, have you found all the parenting information you've been hearing lately a bit confusing? Are you having trouble sorting out the best response to your defiant child, or feeling hopeless about regaining respect from your teen, or determining whether your actions as a parent are the right ones? Instead of the usual pressures of parenting that you've been experiencing, you can partner with your child, raising incredible kids who are destined to become amazing adults. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, giving you the opportunity to become the incredible parent for incredible kids. We have the method and the tools. You bring your optimism for learning and the kids. Raise Incredible Kids offers a comprehensive system for raising kids who are responsible, make their own great decisions, and become immune to peer pressure. To get you ready for this new era in parenting, get my free 10-page report, Incredible Communication That Helps You Create Incredible Kids, by visiting RaiseIncredibleKids.com now. That's RaiseIncredibleKids.com.
All right, welcome back here on Full Power Living. Please call in now to share your experiences with expectation and disappointment. We're at 888-498-0570. Well, next week on Full Power Living, I'm talking with Ransom Stevens. He has a book called Left Brain Speaks, The Right Brain Laughs. What he's doing is updating us on how our brain really works. You know, when I was growing up, people believed that once you got to be an adult, your brain no longer grew. You couldn't learn new things. Old dogs don't learn new tricks, et cetera, et cetera. Well, Ransom is talking about how instead of how the two halves of the brain work together and the fact that one side of the brain doesn't do all the creative functioning or all the language functioning, that in fact we instead of having the two halves of our brains working separately, we actually work like good politicians. Our brains work across the aisle, the two sides working with each other. So I'm very interested to explore that on the air and to share it with you. That's next Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific time, and you'll join us and you can learn new things about your own brain. We look forward to having you and your friends and family listening with us. And remember, you can also subscribe to iTunes on, you can subscribe to Full Power Living on iTunes. We also have a lot of wonderful shows scheduled for you. So if you go to our homepage, emotionalpro.com, click subscribe, and we'll put you on the list so you get notification of our upcoming events. Well, today we're looking at expectations and disappointments, and I'm being assisted by my lovely granddaughters, Amelia and Ava. I've been interested in noticing the differences. If you have ever read Deborah Tannen, you know that our culture supports girls in not showing their intelligence quite so much and not being out there, and we support them to be unsure of themselves. And if you listen to the contrast, you see that younger kids, such as my granddaughter Ava, are not questioning themselves quite as much as someone who's only 3 years older. These are two girls. And that's really important for us to pay attention to also, because we don't want our girls to be disappointed in life. We want them to live as fully as they possibly can, just like we want everybody to live as fully as they possibly can. But it's interesting to notice it's both a personality difference and an age difference in terms of how much we believe ourselves. So what happens when we get what we've come to believe that we are going to experience? Here's what Amelia and Ava have to say.
So let me ask you a question. If your mom or your dad told you that they were going to take you to the circus next week, do you develop an expectation of going to the circus?
Yes, because what they said is that they would take me to the circus, and if they say that, it gives me an expectation that they will do that.
Right. So what happens then next week comes along and they actually do take you to the circus? How do you feel?
I feel great because, one, I get to go to the circus, and two, my expectation has been fulfilled, and I trust my parents more to tell me something and then have them do it.
Yeah, so you trust their follow-through, and it makes you feel good when they follow through.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah, okay.
And here's Eileen.
Notice that Amelia talks about how good we feel, and we've been talking about if you believed in Donald Trump and you voted for him and then he won, that you're going to feel good, you're going to feel solid, you're going to feel safe, and you're going to feel trusting because what you expected occurred. And if you really didn't think it was a good idea he got elected, then you're not going to feel good, and you're not going to feel safe, and you're not going to have gotten what you expected. So when we get what we believe we were promised, we feel good. So here is a challenge for you. Each of the people, Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, each of them promised things as they were going through the election process. Donald Trump is the one who came out on top. So we now have the opportunity to see whether he completes his promise, whether we get to go to the circus with him the way Amelia can go to the circus with her parents. And notice as time goes by, if Donald Trump fulfills his promises, you're going to feel like Amelia when she gets to go to the circus with her parents. And if he doesn't, we're going to be disappointed and perhaps angry as well, because he promised and then he didn't follow through. And perhaps, I mean, I think a lot of people noticed the last 8 years with Mr. Obama in the office that we also have different interpretations of what was promised. And I'm sure you, at one time or another, have felt some distress that other people don't understand what he promised versus what he fulfilled the same way you do. And that's an interesting thing to talk about. Because expectations are beliefs, that, and expectations and beliefs determine our reality. Whatever you believe is what you're going to live. I think it was Ford who said, if you believe things aren't going to work, they won't. And if they are going to work, if you believe they're going to work, they will. Something of that nature. That's probably an abomination of what he said. But at any rate, our beliefs determine our reality. And so depending on what you believe your candidate said and then what they do and how closely what they do fits what you believe you heard, that determines whether you will be upset or not upset. And there are ways, by the way, to step out of the upsetness, and that we will talk about in a short while. So in a Forbes magazine article, a man named Travis Bradbury offers some research feedback for us. He says that research at LSU demonstrated that belief in yourself allows you to use more of your brain and to use it more creatively. In other words, if you really believe you can figure something out or you're good at cooking or whatever, you can use more of your brain, you'll be more creative, and overall you'll be more successful. So one of the things you might want to do is to check how thoroughly you believe in yourself. Another thing that Bradbury offers is a list of 8 erroneous expectations that he says will ruin you. I want you to listen to this list, and remember our number is 888-498-0570, because I'd love you to tell me about any expectation you hold that has caused you problems. For now, as you listen to me read this list, imagine how each one could, or has, or does ruin you. The first erroneous expectation is that life should be fair. Many people in the United States believe that life should be fair. When things don't happen the way they want to, the first thing they say is, that's not really fair. And the reality is that life is not fair. And I don't know, probably pre-kindergarten we learned that it should be fair when we split up our cookies and share them, but it's not a realistic expectation. Number 2 is that opportunity will fall into my lap. I will win the lottery, I'll be discovered in a drugstore in Hollywood, etc., etc. Opportunity will fall into my lap. A lot of people have gone down the tubes waiting for opportunity to show up rather than taking proactive steps. Bradbury's third erroneous expectation is that everyone should like me. Lazarus, who is channeled by Jack Purcell, says that the person who believes that everybody should like them does well in life until they meet somebody who doesn't like anybody. I always like that quote. Everyone should like me. Well, everyone's not going to like you. And when they don't like you, by the way, it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with you. It just means that you and this other person, for whatever reason, don't blend well together. The other person doesn't like you, you may not like them either. The fourth erroneous expectation is that people should agree with me. And I think that this is the one that really plays a role in an upset political victory. How, a person might ask, could anyone not agree with me? How could so many people be misguided because they did not agree with me and vote for the candidate I think should have won? So check yourself. Prior to this election, did you hold the belief that people should agree with you? We've seen in our news reports people pushing and shoving each other and shouting angrily at each other for the simple fact that they didn't agree, that one group or person didn't agree with the other. So what benefit does the belief that people should agree with me give you? We may think we're safe, we may feel comfortable, but we're not living in reality. And in that way, it sets us up for disappointment. So if you thought people should agree with you in terms of voting in this election, how did it set you up to be disappointed when the election turned out the way it did? Number 5 of the erroneous expectations Bradbury lists that can ruin us is people know what I'm trying to say. That we assume. In fact, often if I clearly not getting my message across to somebody else, I will look at them with a smile and say, I know what I'm trying to say. Why don't you? Because we do expect other people to know what we're trying to say. It seems so real in our own minds. How can that ruin you if you hold that erroneous expectation? Here's one that's really, it can be really painful. Number 6, I'm going to fail. You know, there's no point in trying. I'm going to fail anyway. I once played a game of Monopoly with a 14-year-old who held that erroneous expectation. And it was breaking my heart. And I began to coach him. And in fact, he won the game once he was coached past that belief. However, as he was packing up to go home from where he was, he announced to me that it worked fine in that game because I was there. But when he went back to his real life, he would return to failing. Gratefully, he was only concerned about failing at games, although that could go to the rest of life. So number 7 of Bradbury is that things will make me happy. Things never make us happy. Happiness is an inside job. We make ourselves happy. And the last one that creates a lot of disappointment in relationships is, I can change him. I can change her. The reality is that we can't. We have trouble changing ourselves. We certainly can't change another person. Again, change is an inside job. Well, another person that I read in preparation for this course, this show, is Christine Hassler. She wrote a book called Expectation Hangover. And in that book, she suggests that we humans have way too much difficulty with dashed expectations. And she, in her book, she offers us a way out. She also reminds us that there's a human tendency to look forward. And this makes us vulnerable to developing expectations and, as a result, to experiencing disappointment. Well, Amelia and Ava described for me what disappointment feels like, and here they are.
Tell me what disappointment feels like to you.
Disappointment feels like, well, it's rather hard to explain. It feels like when everything is going well and then something happens and you're not feeling good about it and you're disappointed because you don't like what happened. And
you know, you're telling me why you feel disappointed, but what do you actually feel in your body? All of us tend to talk about what you feel depressed. Okay.
Because I don't like it when I'm disappointed.
Yeah. So now let's look at disappointed. What does disappointment feel like?
It probably feels, you know, upsetting,
mm-hmm.
very upsetting, and sort of sometimes you sort of feel mad.
Yeah, you feel mad. And who do you feel mad at, angry with? Who do you feel?
The person who gave you a promise, said their word, or just said it to you.
Okay, so you get disappointed and angry if a person promises you something and then they don't do it. You can do that, especially if you believe that they're telling you the truth.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I got it. So is there anything that can make you feel better when you're disappointed?
Probably going off and reading inside of my bedroom. That would always chills me off. But if not, then probably having dinner, because it cools me down to have something to eat or relax in my bed.
Mm-hmm. So the way that sounds to me is you're saying you focus on something else.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you know that wherever we focus our attention, we send the energy and it gets bigger?
No.
Yeah. So what you do, see, instead of focusing on your disappointment, you focus on your dinner or reading your book. And reading your book is really good because what you're doing then is taking energy inside of you. When you get disappointed, it's sort of like somebody takes part of your energy away, right? But when you read your book, you bring the energy right back in, mm-hmm. right? So those are very good things, Ava, to do when you get disappointed.
Well, Christine Hassler, thank you, Ava and Amelia. Aren't they delightful? I had such a wonderful time interviewing them. Christine Hassler says disappointment is a feeling of sadness or displeasure, and it's caused by the non-fulfillment of a person's hopes or pleasures. She also notes that dissatisfaction leads human beings to disconnect. What has happened for you since the election? If you're happy with the results, you've likely remained connected to other people and to your world. If you're unhappy with the results, you may have been moved to disconnect to the point of moving out of the country for some people. People I have talked to who have come to work with me for therapy since the election have reported that most of the people around them were subdued and withdrawn and not very talkative. When we have this dissatisfaction, this disappointment, we tend to disconnect. And that, think about what that can do if we stay disconnected as we begin with a new president. What can happen if you are disconnected and you like what Trump does, then perhaps you'll be okay. But if you're disconnected and you don't like it, then you won't be taking action or letting anybody know that you don't like it. And that could create quite a bit of ruination for you. So here's an interesting question. How much power do you want your dashed expectation to have over your life? Years ago, I bought myself a vanity license plate for my car. It is EMOTBAL, and it stands for emotional balance. I finally realized that just because things change in my world, because I get disappointed, just because I have experiences, I do not want to give power to other people who may violate me. Shortly after I got that license, someone stole my wallet out of my backpack as I stopped at on a street corner in Berkeley, California. And when my daughter came home and learned about it, she noticed that I was not upset, and she questioned me. Why aren't you upset? And I said, I don't want whoever it is who stole my wallet to both steal my wallet and steal my energy by me getting upset. So I'm not going to get upset. This is just what happened. And the long and the short of it, what I learned to do, my wallet actually was returned to me 5 days after it was stolen. It was found 30 miles away by people working on the road. It was not damaged, didn't have money or credit cards, a driver's license in it, but my family pictures and even my library card were still in it. And the man who returned it to me lived a mile from my home and delivered it to my front door. So look what happens when you don't get all worked up and upset. And instead, send your energy at least visualizing, imagining what you want instead. So is it possible to be disappointed by your expectations and rebalance yourself, allowing yourself to still go forward with your life? When we don't, when we do not experience disappointment, this is something that Amelia and Ava help us with to understand. Here's Amelia and Ava with their wisdom.
If your parents tell you they're going to take you to the circus, but you understand that there is a chance they might not, do you get as disappointed?
No, because then I know that it might not have happened and something could have gone wrong, and I'm fine with it because they do that sometimes. I mean,
so would you think
everybody messes up eventually?
Yes. Oh, I never do. So the idea is that that if you have in your mind that something could happen, but it might not, then you get less disappointed.
Yeah.
Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, because I don't expect it to happen as much.
Yeah, don't have as strong an expectation. So if you could, like in everything that happens in life, if you could know it could happen and you want it to happen, but it also might not happen, do you think it would be less likely for you to get disappointed in your life altogether?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
So what helps you feel better when you get disappointed?
Well, what helps me feel better when I get disappointed is when I get given something or reassured that it will happen next time and that I won't be disappointed, then that makes me feel better. And also, I usually just get over it because, hey, well, it happened.
Uh-huh. So you do some, either somebody outside of you could do something or you could do something for yourself. So if your mom or your dad told you that they're going to take you to the circus next week, do you develop an expectation?
Sometimes, but not always. Sometimes I'm like, they're probably not going to do it, but sometimes I think like, when I think not always, it's sort of like sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But if it's the circus, then it's probably going to be in between. I'm probably not going to have an expectation, since I know going to the circus we could either be too busy to go, or we could have time and go straight there.
And if you do it the way you're talking about with the circus, where you believe it might happen but it might not, and it doesn't happen, do you get as disappointed?
Actually, no, because I was also guessing we might not go there because of blah, blah, blah.
So you had room for your belief not to be true. And when you have room for your belief not to be true, then you don't get as disappointed. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
Cool.
So children offer us ideas about dealing with disappointment. They can let their disappointment out. We usually know when a child is disappointed. But if we can take a different perspective, as Amelia and Ava suggest, Amelia says things happen, we all make mistakes. And if we can practice acceptance and follow what's right for us, then we might be able to grow rather than get lost in the ramifications of disappointment. When we experience disappointment and dashed expectations, we experience all of that in the four areas of life, in our thoughts, our emotions, our actions, and in our spiritual life. And we can work with disappointment and expectations in all of those areas of life. So we're talking about today about expectations and disappointments with the help of my wonderful granddaughters, Amelia and Ava. And we're up to our second break. You're listening to Full Power Living, and we'll be right back to talk more.
Everybody feels anger, but if you don't learn to deal with it, anger can mess up your life. It can cause you relationship problems, difficulties on the job, or create health problems. If you want a way to understand and work with anger that's simple yet so powerful it helps you to put an end to the specific angers that are messing up your life, then you'll want to get a copy of a mini course I've created for you entitled Reduce Anger Now. With it, I want you to be able to figure out what's stimulating the anger you feel and have an easy way to change that anger so you can dramatically reduce the anger in your life. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, longtime psychotherapist, coach, and anger expert. I've helped thousands of people to master anger and I want you to begin to become an anger master in your life. Order Reduce Anger Now at the store, www.emotionalpro.com. That's www.emotionalpro.com.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, we're looking at expectations and disappointment. And I'm joined on this show by my granddaughters, Amelia, who's 11, and Ava, who's 8. You're also welcome to call 888-498-0570. Well, have you been dwelling on all that you're disappointed about in the last few days? You know, you can change many things about how you think about the experiences of your life. And here are a few things you can do. You can stop dwelling in the past. Things like telling ourselves, this is what happened the last time the Republicans were in control of our country, and it's not good. That's us living in the past and developing new expectations of what's going to happen based on our past experience. The only time we have power is in the present, and staying present will allow you to shift your attention. And when you do, when you shift the focus of attention, as I shared with Ava, whatever you focus attention on, that's going to grow and be a bigger part of your life. So focus your attention, imagining different outcomes from the changes. Write a new story about what you would like to happen. And just notice where you've been focusing your attention since the election. Have you been focusing on your expectation that life is going to hell in a handbasket? Or might you have taken a look at what this experience is trying to teach you and all of us? As those of you who are regular listeners know, on this show and in my work as a psychotherapist, we talk in terms of our Earth being a giant school to which all of us have come in order to grow and learn. On this program several months ago, I spoke with psychic Tony Green about this very election. I asked, what is Donald Trump's soul offering us all? Sometimes a soul will use or sacrifice itself in order that the rest of us can learn. So I was curious about whether Donald Trump's soul might be doing that. And Tony Green told me that Trump really is motivated to change this country for the better. She also reminded us that we need to change. As a psychotherapist, I've observed that when an individual begins making massive personal change, the first thing that happens is that the person falls apart in almost every way. Massive personal breakdown or breaking apart. Could it be that Donald Trump is offering himself to accomplish this kind of breakdown for our country so we can make massive change? Think about it. When disappointment strikes and our expectations are dashed, we need to do some things emotionally because emotions are energy. And if we don't let the energy of our emotions and feelings move through and out of us, then we have problems. Mentally, in our mental side of our lives, we do better when we accept what's happening and work to get a perspective on the situation. What I have learned as facing facts, looking fairly at what has happened. Donald Trump is our elected president. That's the fact. That's what we need to deal with. And in terms of our recent national election, what's the huge change all about? What is there for us to learn? On a very physical, behavioral level, this change can motivate us to take action. So ask yourself, what action is going to make you feel better? What action can help our country and the people in it to make changes they really need to make? And then we need to take those actions. I asked Amelia and Ava what they can do to make themselves feel better when their expectations are not met and they get disappointed. Here they are.
So now let's look at disappointed. Do you ever get angry when you feel disappointed?
Not usually, but sometimes.
Sometimes. So usually we get angry with other people. We get angry with them because we had an idea that something was going to happen and it didn't happen that way. So it wouldn't be unusual for people to get angry. Why do you think you don't get angry so much?
I guess because sometimes it's happening sometimes, and if it happens, it happens, and you can't really change stuff or anything about it, but it does feel kind of disappointing because you expected that to happen. They told you that it would happen.
Right.
And
what you were telling me is that if you just accept what happened and it's real to you, okay, that happened, that's the way it is, then you don't get so disappointed. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I teach people when I work with them, that if you face facts, if you look at something squarely for what it is, like, get over it, it happened, then you're free of it. It's not a burden to you anymore. So if someone who voted is disappointed because their person didn't become president, do you think it would work for them, for somebody to offer them, you know, your guy lost, your person lost, and this other person is president, and that's the way it is? Do you think that would help them to not feel disappointed so much?
It depends on the kind of person, because some people wouldn't really appreciate it, and they'd find what that person said as mean or
upsetting, maybe?
Rude or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Or if they were kind of how I said, they faced the facts and that's what happened, then
right,
they would find it pretty much very comforting. Because
okay,
that's what happened, and yeah, that's what's going to happen. That's what happened. That's the way it is.
I think that's a really great piece of advice and a good thing for people to do if they're disappointed about who won the election. So, Amelia, thank you for being on the program today and talking with me about this.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
If somebody who voted this week is disappointed because their person didn't become president, what do you think they could do to stop being disappointed that their person didn't become president?
They probably, if they loved books, and they probably, what my opinion would be, is that they go and read books and just chill off, you know?
Uh-huh. So they just pay attention. And one of the things that I've learned is if you don't do what I call facing facts, the fact is, if your person didn't win, then that person is not going to be the president, right? But sometimes when people get disappointed, they don't face the fact. They go, my person should have been president, and you did it wrong, and somebody cheated, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're not really facing the fact that the truth is their person lost and the other person won, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when you face fact, then you're free of it. Then you're free to read and you don't even think about it anymore.
Yeah.
So do you think that would be a good thing, to face the fact and go, okay, I may not like it, but the other person won and that's the way it is?
Yeah.
You think that's a good idea?
Okay. Yeah, I would not personally, I try to keep myself on the cool side, because when we get angry, it doesn't help my body just relax and calm down. The longer I get angrier, it's sort of like, you know, how you have pressure, and then when you let it go, it's easier to chill down. But when you keep on having the pressure, it's harder to chill down.
Okay, and so part of what we're saying is when you keep focusing on what's not the way you wanted it to
be.
Then
it's like squeezing.
It's like squeezing you. All right. So what would you recommend so that anybody who's listening to this show doesn't feel squeezed about the election this week?
So if somebody's favorite activity is like playing games with their family or that stuff, then they probably play with their family, have a fun time. That's what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
If my I would do my favorite activity.
Nice. Very, very nice. Okay, you've been a very big help with the show this week, and it's been nice having you on the show. Thank you, Ava.
Thank you.
Everybody loves their grandchildren, but it's delightful for me to share mine with you. You know, spiritually speaking, there is no such thing as something going wrong. And that's what lies at the bottom of dashed expectations and disappointment. Because on a spiritual level, everything that occurs is exactly right for what we need to learn. So when we place our attention on this way of seeing things, that gives us our best way out of disappointment. And when you're looking at the world as a giant school, you can ask yourself some questions. For example, what could we in this country be trying to teach ourselves by having Donald Trump elected as our president? I'd like to encourage you to spend some time on listening to your deep inner self for answers. Since 9-1-1, we've focused on safety, for example, one thought of mine. We've given up many of our personal rights ostensibly to keep ourselves safe. Well, if you didn't vote for Trump, how safe have you felt this week? Might we have something to learn about the illusion of safety? Might we need to refocus ourselves on trusting that which is larger than ourselves? Some people call it God. Some people call it universal energy. And perhaps we want to focus, instead of on our shock and disappointment, we want to focus on loving one another in this world rather than on developing an us and them mentality. So these are two possible lessons I suggest, and please spend some time finding others. We all need to face facts, as we talked about, so consider lifting your awareness in your head and look beyond the event of this election. Now, another person I learned from this week is Ken Stone. He calls himself the soul archaeologist, Ken Stone. He says, quote, I suspect half the country woke up relieved that Donald Trump won and half the country woke up concerned or upset. What can we do when the outer world is reflecting a consciousness that doesn't appear congruent with what's happening in here, the place within us where we are encountering and experiencing God in the depths of our being? How do we reconcile the unending expressions of resonance, love, peace, and joy that are so clearly available within us when what's happening out there may appear to be a move into separation? How can we uncover and embody the resonance that is our true nature, piercing all expressions and experiences of separation, whatever they may be? And he has some suggestions. First, we can embody. Bring your soul into your body, and return to a connected, deeply resonant state. This also serves to disconnect from the energy, whatever its expression, of others. Second, we can return ourselves to an experience of wholeness. Be in the river of your divine resonance and wholeness, and don't think about it, be in it. Third, he suggests we throw out the map. Whatever perspective you have on the election, the truth is none of us really knows what's going to happen next. One significant aspect of the spiritual journey is about coming to the realization that not only do we not know how to accomplish what we desire, but we also cannot control the outcome in so many different aspects of our lives. So he suggests that instead of trying to control, which is what having expectations is all about and why disappointment occurs, we surrender completely. He says letting go is the next natural step, and it leads to a profound experience of liberation and freedom. And letting go is facing the fact, realizing this has happened, and then dealing with life as it's occurring now, as opposed to staying focused on our disappointment, which is focusing on the past. And finally, he says we can choose love. Rather than be caught up with our differences, we can remind ourselves of our common essence in whatever expression We can remind ourselves that the divine is present in everything and everyone. I leave you today with offerings of Travis Bradbury and Christine Hassler Kinstone and my granddaughters, Amelia and Ava. My fellow speaker, W. Mitchell, who's still going after a disfiguring motorcycle accident, an airplane crash that broke his back, and a stint in the government of Colorado, says, "It's not what happens to you that matters. It's what you do about it." So give some thought. What are you going to do differently in your life starting now? Next week, listen to Full Power Living when I talk with Ransom Stevens, who's author of Left Brain Speaks, The Right Brain Laughs. Find out what the latest brain research says about how your brain really works and how it gives us a model that would even work well for our nation's politicians. We'll be here again next Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific time. Please invite your friends and family to listen with you, and they can listen live or on our archives. We are grateful to you for being part of our broadcasting family. Full Power Living's producer is Paul Johnston of Fresh Talk Media. Thank you, Paul, and for a wonderful introduction as well. And for now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you, pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
To Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.